If you're like me, you're a bit of a voracious reader. These days, I'm reading mostly on my phone and computer. And then when I say that, I realize that 10 or 20 years ago, I would never have even thought about doing that. So I began to wonder what the next 10 or 20 years might look like, which led me to invite my next guest. His name is Ethan Wolfman, and he covers consumer issues, politics, technology, and personal finance for Yahoo Finance, and he's going to discuss the top 10 innovations that could shape the next decades. Hey, Ethan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So what is the source of this information, of this crystal ball?
So this comes from Citigroup, and specifically a lot of it Citigroup's venture team. But what's so interesting here is that they've kind of pulled out all of these areas from individuals who cover these various sectors. And what I really love about it is that, I mean, we hear so much about innovation in the future and all these things like that through the media and social media and all this stuff. However, I think the best place to find it is often through the most kind of boring and less enthusiastic or excitable types. And a bank is a really good place to find that.
Right.
So, enthusiasm only gets you so far. These people are using a lot of analysis and have a little bit more going on, which actually makes me more enthusiastic.
Yeah, I hear you. And it's not hype, it's not promotion, and nobody is talking about the next, you know, world changer. These are studied research to try to figure out, with all the trends and ways of measuring trends, which really gets me to this question about, you know, foretelling the future seems to be impossible. What makes this different besides just saying it's research?
Well, I mean, I think having the analysis there, not only on the specific sectors, but really watching the people who are ultimately going to be consuming the stuff, that is, I think, really, really key. I mean, the big lens, which kind of the head of Citi's venture group tells us to look at this, is through this lens of what kind of large-scale societal, economic, tech trends are happening that, you know, that you might be overlooking or that a company might be overlooking. She gives a great example of Microsoft completely missing the mobile train, and you know, Apple got so entrenched in the iPhone before Microsoft really knew what hit them.
Yeah.
So I think it's so important not to keep the eye off the ball here when it comes to that kind of thing.
Okay, so let's take a look at these 10 areas of disruption. The first one, and some of these are really kind of boring and surprising, all solid-state batteries. Why does that matter to us?
Right. I mean, there are so many things that are at this kind of infrastructural level that we don't really see. We wouldn't interact with on our daily lives when, if and when they actually come. And solid-state batteries are one of those things. Right now, batteries can only do so much. It's a huge limitation. I mean, you may think about this when you realize your phone dies after a day.
Yeah.
And, you know, why a day? Why not a week? Why not a month?
Yeah.
Or a Tesla needs to be charged a lot more than maybe otherwise. And so when you think about these ways to store electricity and store energy efficiently, cheaply, in a small space, all of these things, that has something that could really affect literally everything we touch. I mean, there are batteries in so much of the things that we interact with. And if we can have a way to make that more efficient and cheaper, that will make this enormous difference. And one of the biggest places is in cars. There's been so much question of when will electric cars, if they will ever, take on the, you know, internal combustion engine and gas cars. And we haven't seen that because there's so many limitations. And a lot of this comes from the fact that the battery technology just simply is not there. So if the battery comes, I mean, that could change our entire auto industry, which is, you know, that's just one of many things.
All right, well, let's move on to some of the other things too. So batteries, yeah, I mean, they're ubiquitous and important, but there's a lot more here. Anti-aging medicines as well. So what's going on there?
Well, this is kind of an obvious one that, you know, we are in a constant battle with aging, and we'd all like to stop that, not just from a kind of a cosmetic standpoint, but from, you know, arthritis and various ailments. So if we can fix that, then that's an enormous market. And there are a few promising studies. This is one that, you know, there's a larger who knows, I think, in this one than other stuff, but that's definitely something to watch.
Now, the third one is autonomous vehicle networks. So, you know, these are driverless cars, right?
Yeah, this is related to some other things. It's related to the battery question because I think the ubiquity of electric cars would be something kind of necessary for the full autonomous nature, since the stuff is going to be so much a part of the changing technology of cars and probably would only happen with new ones first and ones that you don't buy yourself. And also, this would require big advances in AI and machine learning and all these other things. But I mean, we've heard a lot of talk from, you know, the GM and Uber and Apple and various and Google, Waymo, all these companies that are trying to get into this. But I think it's something that will happen, but maybe not so soon.
You know, Ethan, I don't really understand it. I don't understand what the big drive is, no pun intended, you know, to not drive your own car. I really sounds very, sci-fi-ish, and you've kind of seen, you know, Minority Report and other kinds of wonderful movies about this. But, you know, I don't get it. Now, big data and healthcare. Now, I hear a lot and read a lot about how big data is going to be changing everything. In what way is that going to change for us?
Well, this is one that I kind of have mixed feelings on, simply because, I mean, we're so desperate to solve issues in healthcare, especially getting the amount that we spend on healthcare down. I mean, it's going to break 20% of our GDP in the next few years. Yeah. That's just an enormous amount to be spending on healthcare. And people think that big data and harnessing the enormous amounts of electronic health records, actually the amount of data is measured in exobytes, which is a term I just learned I mean, that's many past terabyte, you know, gigabyte. And
well, it's probably
like
1,000. Is it 1,000 terabytes?
Right. Something like that.
Okay.
But the thing here is if we can deal with all of this data that we get and apply some sort of machine learning or some sort of way to harness it and turn it into something useful and meaningful, that will be incredibly advantageous, maybe making doctors' lives easier with smart diagnosis. I think that's what people ultimately want. But having, you know, smaller things and maybe just managing costs a bit. But at the same time, this is coming when we are having less trust in data collected on us. So I don't know how it's going to work.
Well, I mean, when you think of the future, you kind of will always want to paint the rosiest picture, right? It's going to you know, make it easier to travel. We'll be traveling at supersonic speeds. But you never really hear about, you know, some of the ramifications of all that. We're low on time, so I want to skip to one that's going to be changing quite soon, and that is 5G. We've heard about it. We know what 3G is, and, you know, LTE is. We see that on our phone. But how is 5G going to change things?
Well, 5G is the question. Having a wireless connection that really is leaps and bounds faster than it is now, it's something that people think will kick off the kind of Internet of Things in earnest, which people thought was going to happen earlier with LTE, but hasn't really. I mean, some people have a smart house and smart locks and smart thermostats and things, but this is something that really could change things a bit, especially when we were talking about self-driving cars. The amount of data required to make everything work would be astronomical. So a way to kind of deal with all that would be 5G.
Is that going to bypass Wi-Fi then in terms of speed and availability?
Some people think so. I'm not totally sure about that. Mm-hmm. There are, I mean, it's cheap to use Wi-Fi, and wired connections are still going to be faster than any wireless, I think.
Sure.
But that's something I think we will see instead of a Wi-Fi thing to 5G.
Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, but I'll tell you, we will put the link on our website. So if you want to see what the others are, you can surely get them there. My guest is Ethan Wolfman, and he's from Yahoo Finance. And if you have a question about what we just discussed, don't forget to go to our website, which is stevepomerantz.com, where you will find that link and you will find so many other things for you to peruse and to search for and to enjoy and understand. That's stevepomerantz.com. And don't forget to sign up for our weekly update, where we will send you the weekly commentaries and interviews straight to your inbox. That's stevepomerantz.com. Once again, Ethan, thanks so much.
Thank you.